That's the word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Trust Jesus. Sermon by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. One of the issues each of us needs to face in Lent is our relationship to the Bible. It is very gratifying that we have such good attendance at our Sunday and Wednesday classes, if we wish. I have never heard of a parish where the Word of God is taken so seriously. Yet I always think about a woman in my parish in California who piped up at a class one night and said, "I love your classes so much. If you ever left here, I know I'd never read the Bible again." She thought she was paying me a compliment, but she wasn't. Bible study classes, essential as they are supposed to be a springboard for your private meditation upon the Scriptures. If you only have contact with the Bible one or two days a week, you're shortchanging yourself. Please allow me to use this morning's gospel as a case study on what private meditation on a passage of Scripture looks like. First of all, any encounter with the Bible will be far more productive if you start out with a prayer. A prayer that should be something like, "God, I know you want to tell me something through this passage. Please help me see what it is." Simple enough. Your two fundamental tasks are, first, to figure out what the passage is actually saying, and then second, to see how what it is saying applies to you. Today's gospel begins, "Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." That means he left where he had been, the area around the Sea of Galilee, and went some miles north and west into pagan territory around present-day Lebanon. That gives the clue that we are going to hear about his going to have something to do with the relationship between Judaism and paganism, Jews and Gentiles. A Gentile woman approaches Jesus and asks him to do something about her daughter who is possessed. Her approach sets up all sorts of cleanliness issues. Jesus doesn't know her, and she is a pagan. If he talks to her, he will make himself unclean under Hebrew law. So Jesus tries to ignore her. He answered her not a word. His disciples ask him to make her go away. He seems to agree as he says, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That is to say, I am here to try to save the Jews. I have no reason to deal with Gentiles, even if they have been smart enough to address me as the Messiah and call me Son of David. The Canaanite woman is not put off. She throws herself at Jesus' feet and says, "Lord, help me." He replies rather nastily, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." That means it's not proper to take what belongs to Jews and give it to Gentiles. She still persists and tells him, "That may be true, but even dogs get to eat the scraps that fall off the dinner table." Jesus concedes. She wins the argument. He says, "You have a lot of faith. You can have what you want." The Canaanite woman got what she asked for. Her daughter was healed. So that is what the story says. The next question is, how does what it say apply to me? First of all, the story tells us that Jesus came to earth to save everybody. He first went to the Jews, his own people, but he helped non-Jews as well. After he went back to heaven, the main work of his church, especially the work of St. Paul, was to make what started out as good news for Jews into good news for non-Jews also. Almost all of us are ethnically Gentile, not Jewish. Jesus, the Hebrew Messiah, came to save us too. So mired in my sins as I am, Jesus thinks I am salvageable. That's good news. Second, the story tells us about prayer. The characteristic of prayer that Jesus prays the most is persistence, keeping at it until you get an answer, nagging God. Jesus tells two parables that make that point. The one about the judge who gives a woman what she wants just to keep her from coming around and bothering him anymore, and the one about the man who goes to his next-door neighbor to borrow bread in the middle of the night. The neighbor gives him the bread to get rid of him. The Canaanite woman is a perfect example of persistence. Not only does she keep at Jesus when she gets no response at all, but also she persists even though Jesus calls her the B word. Persistence is why the church prays twice a day. Persistence is why we offer the same prayers for the same people week after week. Persistence keeps us asking for forgiveness after we confess the same old sins over and over again. The Canaanite woman nagged until she got an answer. We need to learn to pray as she prays. Part of what makes her persist is that she has confidence that Jesus can and will do what she asks him to do. That is what faith means in this context. It is not what she gets, not that she gets what she wants as a reward for her confidence. Her confidence opens her up and makes her receptive to whatever Jesus will do for her. She trusts him. We should trust him too. We talked last week about how we need to be consciously receptive toward what Jesus wants to give us when we receive communion. Prayer works the same way. We need to pray, trusting we will get an answer. The Canaanite woman teaches us to nag God with confidence. What began as a Bible lesson ends as a lesson in prayer. Let us resolve to spend Lent putting the lessons into practice. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen.